Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Maseches Tanis Daf Vav. We begin four lines from the top of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'nosati matar arzachem be'itoi, yoyre umalkish. Hashem promises, if we keep the Torah, He'll give us rain in its proper time. Yoyre, that's the first phase of the rain season. Umalkish, the last phase of the rain season. Yoyre is what activates the seeds, what activates the growth process. Malkish is all the way at the end, the extra moisture which moisturizes and fills the kernels and completes the growing process. Tanu Rabbanan Yoyre. Why is it called Yoyre? The first phase of the rain is called Yoyre because Shemoyre es habriyos. It informs the public. La tiach kagesein. Go ahead and smear the tiach, the cement or tar or the waterproofing on those roofs to waterproof your dwellings in anticipation of the oncoming winter. Ula hachnas es perisein and bring in their crops. Velas es kotzorchein and prepare their towns for the winter season. So the first rain comes and gives you that message. Davar acher, another pshat in Yoyre, shemarve es aretz, it moisturizes the land, umashke atohim, which trickles all the way down to the depths of the earth. Shenemar tlameha rave nachas, we see marve rave, the rain moisturizes, saturates the land with moisture, naches kedudeo bervivim temagigenot simcha tevarech, brings about bracha in the growth. Davarach, another reason why it's called Yoyre, sheyored benachas, it comes down pleasantly. The first rains are pleasant. Veinu yored bezav, does not come down forcefully and harshly. Rashi learns, Yoyre is a lesson of teaching. One teaches his Talmud pleasantly, divrei chachamim benachas and shmoim, with pleasantness. And that's the term Yoyre, sheyored benachas. Let's go over to Rashi on the top line. Yoyre. We have a pasuk v'nosati mitar arzachem bi'ito yoyre umalkish. Why is it called Yoyre? Says Rashi, it's referring to the first installment of the rain. Revi'a rishoyna hayiredes b'mar cheshvon k'dil kamon. So revi'a is a reference to the rain system. The Gemara later explains why it's called revi'a. It activates the growth in the ground. And the first installment of that rain comes during Cheshvan time. Loma nikra yoyre, why is it called yoyre? Shemoyre hen latiach agisein b'tiach sholtit. Shelo yitfu gishamim b'bayis. And informs the public to start waterproofing their roofs so that they don't experience dripping during the winter. Ulaachas perasein, shenichu b'sadis l'yavshanad achshav. Bring in the crops which were left out in the fields to dry. Kotzorchein, or other things, shardvar matzrichel mesaksham, pay the roads and the villages for the winter season. Another pshat is, shiyared benachas, it comes down pleasantly. Vochei mashma, that's how we see it from the pasuk, yeres ka'adam shemayru l'talmidav benachas, like a rabbi teaching his students, pleasantly. Dechsev divri chachamim benachas neshmoim, a divarim of a chacham are expressed pleasantly and softly. Inami, another reason why Yoyre is referring to Yoyre benachas, Loshen Chetz, like an arrow. Yoyre, Hahoylech b'yoshev, which is directed in a straight line. Vein enoite l'kan, doesn't veer in either direction. So Loshen Achi here as well, Shemeskavan l'oretz, Ve'eino Yoyre b'zav b'sifri. It rains directly onto the ground in a manner which is beneficial to the ground. It doesn't veer to either direction, which means it's not diverted, it's not flooding, it's coming and actually providing maximum benefit to activate the growth process in the arts. Okay, so the drash of this pasuk is that the yore is ravei, it moisturizes, it saturates the Oretz with rain. So, three translations to the word Yoyre. Instructs, informs the public to prepare for winter. Saturates the Oretz. Number three, comes down pleasantly. Says the Gemara, how do you know? that the pasuk here is speaking in a positive context. Or maybe perhaps yoira just means elo shemeshiras apiris. Actually, it's a forceful storm which topples the crops. Umashtef es azroim washes away the newly planted seeds. Umashtef es eilonis and topples over the trees and brings about destruction and harm. And perhaps the pasuk means, if you're going to listen to Hashem, you'll avoid the yoyer of malkish, which are actually destructive phenomena. So how do you know it's a positive context? Perhaps it's a negative one. Talmud Leimer malkish, yoyer u malkish. We connect yoyer to malkish. Ma malkish lebracha. Malkish certainly means bracha. Gemara soon will tell us. You can't say malkish means destruction. Rashi actually explains it. He says malkish is at the end. It's Nisan time. You don't really have the fruit growing on the trees at that point. You don't have the newly planted seeds. So malkish must mean bracha. Afyera the bracha. Likewise, yera is a positive reference, a bracha reference. Or maybe no. Malkish elosha malpe elosha batim. True. It's not actually sharing fruit, which aren't yet there, but perhaps it's destroying the houses. Umeshabes elonis, knocking off the trees. Umales hasakoin. Lekish is a lashon of Arabic, Rashi says, grasshoppers. The extra moisture brings about grasshoppers and destruction. Tamalomi yoyre. We say yoyre o malkish. We're going to learn in the reverse. Malkish compared to yoyre. Ma yoyre lebracha, just as yoyre is certainly a bracha. Av malkish lebracha, likewise malkish. Well, how do you know that? So we're sort of going in circles here. How do you know Yere is a positive reference? Call Yisrael, be happy, appreciative for what Hashem did for you. Because He brought you Moira, the Yere Letztaka. So we see that the Navi is referring to Yere in a positive context. Apparently, it's a positive phrase. It's a bracha, as we explained earlier. And therefore, we connect Malkush to Yer, they're both referring to a positive reference of rain. Tanu Rabbanan. So when exactly do we have Yer? When is Malkush? Yer is B'mar Cheshvan, beginning of the growth season. U'Malkush B'Nisan, that's the end of the growth season. Ato Oymer Yer B'mar Cheshvan, Malkush B'Nisan. So you maintain Yer comes in Cheshvan, Malkush B'Nisan. Or maybe perhaps, Ela Yer B'Tishrei, Malkush B'Ir. Perhaps it's a month earlier and a month later. Tamun Loymer B'Itay. Yoreh Malkush. Pasuk says that Yoreh Malkush is a timely rain. Timely means it's synchronized with the growing season, with the planting season. Apparently Yoreh is Cheshvan, when you start planting, and Malkush is when you're about to harvest your crops. And that has a filling effect. It makes the kernels plump and filled. So apparently it's taking place at this particular time. Yer is in Cheshvan, and Malkush is in Nisan. Now, what does Malkush mean? We have three pshatim coming up. Malkush, Amar Avnei Eloi Bar Idi Amar Shmol. Dover Shemol, it removes, like a mila, removes Kashyus and Shel Yisrael, the stubbornness of Yisrael, as she says, when there is no rain, we do Teshuvah. So Malkush, Mal Kashyusun. Dvir Yav Shmol Tana, another pshat. Malkush means Dover Shememale Tvua Bikasheha. Remember, it comes Nisan time when the Tvua is maturing. So Malkush, it fills up the Tvua Bikasheha, it fills up the kernels in the stalks, and it has that positive, beneficial effect. Masnisa Tana, a third Pshat Malkush, Dover Sheyered Ala Malilais Valakashin. It rains on the Malilais, Rashi says, on the heads of the stalks, of the kernels there, Valakashin, on the straw itself. So it comes Nisan time when we have stalks with kernels growing as well. Tana Rabbanan. Yoreh b'Malkush b'mar Cheshvan u'Malkush b'Nisan. Right, so we conclude that Yoreh is in Cheshvan, Malkush in Nisan. Ato Oymer, you maintain Yoreh b'mar Cheshvan. It comes that early. Oyeinoyo, perhaps it's a bit later. Ela b'Chodesh Kislev. It only starts in Kislev. Tama Leimar. Be'ita Yoreh b'Malkush. As we learned earlier, that we're speaking about a timely rain. Yoreh and Malkush are there in the right time. Ma Malkush Be'itay, just as Malkush was referring to the rain which enhances the kernels, makes them plump and full. Apparently it's happening at that time, Nisan time, when we have that need. Af Yoda Be'itay, likewise Yoda, is a reference to that first installment of rain which comes in its appropriate time, when you're planting your seeds, to have maximum benefit. So that's this Shita, that Yoyer, the first installment of rain, is meant to come Mar Cheshvan. The Nafkimina will be, we're going to see soon, difference would be regarding when to start asking for rain. So that's what we do today. We start in Cheshvan, because that is the time for Yoyer. But we're going to have a Machlekes coming up. Tani Itach, we have another Braisa. Yoyer b'Mar Cheshvan, Malkash b'Nisan divrei Rav Meir. Okay, so this is Rav Meir's Shita. Yoyer is in Cheshvan, Malkash b'Nisan. But we have a dissenting view. Chacham hold Yoyer b'Kislev. Really, Yoyra really extends into Kislev. The Zman of Yoyra would be Kislev as well. In that case, you would only start asking for Geshem and Kislev. Man Chachamim, let's put a name to the face. Who are the Chachamim? Amrav Chizda, Rab Yosi. Achitas Rab Yosi. The Sanya Ezihi Revere Shain. So we spoke about Yoyra referring to the beginning of the rain season, which is called Revere. Now, within Revi'ah itself, the Gemara will tell us we have three points of rain. Three Zmanim. The first, the middle, and the last rain, all within Yoyer, within Revi'ah. So what is Revi'ah? And some take out the word Rishayna. What is contained within the rain of Revi'ah? We have three parts to it. HaBechira. The first point of Revi'ah is B'shleish Mar Cheshvan. It's meant to come in the third of Mar Cheshvan. Beinonis, the next point is B'shiva Bayim, 7 Mar Cheshvan. Afela, the last portion of that rain, B'shiva Sabayim, comes on 17 of Cheshvan, Divrei Rav Meir. So it's pretty clear, according to Rav Meir, Yoyre, Revia, Rishayna is meant to start beginning of Cheshvan, and extends all the way to 17 of Cheshvan. Rabbi Da'imer, B'shiva. It's only meant to start a couple of days later. 7 of Cheshvan, that's the first installment. Ubi Yod Zayin, the second installment on 17 of Cheshvan. Ubi Esem Reshloisha, on 23 of Cheshvan, we have the third and final installment of the Yoyra system. Rabbi Yossi, we were looking for Rabbi Yossi. He postpones it a bit. He pushes it a bit down the line. Ubi Yod Zayin, so the first part of the Yoyra is 17 of Cheshvan. Ubi Esem Reshloisha, the second installment is 23 of Cheshvan. Ubi Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and the last and final installment of the Yoyre rain system only comes Rosh Chodesh Kislev. In fact, he would maintain that until Kislev, it's not really so desperate. Don't even have to start fasting yet if there is a lack of rain. Until Rosh Chodesh Kislev, then you're in trouble. But until that point, you still have time to wait for your rain to come. Amar Rav Chizda, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. In fact, halacha follows Rabbi Yosi that we can wait until Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the Yoyra, extends until that point, and there's no real worry until that point. There's no real makom for tanis. And likewise, when it comes to asking for rain, we're going to see soon, you can delay, you could postpone, you only have to start later, perhaps Yud Zayin B'Cheshvan, which is the starting point of the Yoyra, the first rain cycle. So we seem to have two approaches, actually three timetables when it comes to Yoyra. Does it start Mar Cheshvan 3, Mar Cheshvan 7, or Mar Cheshvan 17? And according to Rabbi Yosi, it starts in 17 all the way to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which is the last and final installment of that first rain. Therefore, Yoyra is really technically not just in Cheshvan, but also extends into Kislev. Now, Amemar had a different version. Amemar Masni lo l'holder of Chizda b'halishna. He had a different version of Rav Chizda. Instead of Rav Chizda paskening like Rav Yosi, regarding the dating of Yoyra, he was referring to a different discussion regarding what's the starting point of asking for rain, which is slightly related, but he's actually going to pasken like a different shita. Let's see. B'shloisha b'mar cheshvan, we have a mission later on, which says that on the third day of Cheshvan, Shoyalan es Akshamim, we start asking Hashem for rain. We say in Talamot. Why? Presumably, this Tanakama is Rabbi Meir, right? It's meant to parallel each other. These Zmani Sheila parallels the Zman of Yoyre. According to Rabbi Meir, Yoyre begins Marcheshvan 3. Zman Sheila, likewise, takes place on that day as well, Marcheshvan 3. Ram Gamlil Imer B'Shiva Boy. When we start asking him, is Saint Talamata on the 7th of Marcheshvan? Apparently, he holds that the Zman of Yoyre only arrives then. This is like who? Like Rabbi Yehuda in the previous discussion, who holds that Yer only begins on Shiva, on the 7th of Cheshvan. On this we have Amar of Chizda, Halach Karam Gamliel. Oh, Zman Sheila is 7 of Cheshvan, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Yer only begins 7 of Cheshvan. And not like Rabbi Yossi, who gives you another couple of days, only begins on 17. So, according to this version of Amemar, Rav Chizda paskin not like Rabbi Yossi. He paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He paskin likewise like Ram Gamliel. Yoreh begins on 7 of Cheshvan, and Zman She'ilas Keshavim begins on that day as well. Keman Ozlo Hadassanya, and according to whose Shita, was the following Brisa stated. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aymer, Geshavim She'yardu Shiva Yom Zechazeh. If you experience 7 days of consecutive rain, Atamoyna Ben, Revia Rishon Yoshnia. You've already covered the first and second portions, installments of the Revia, of the Yoyre. And according to Agersi here, we would add the word Oy. Oy Shnia Ushlishis. Or second and third points of the Yoyre. Meaning, we spoke about the 3 points of Yoyre. The three installments of Yoyre reign. We have 3 shitas regarding the exact dates. We have a brisa which says if you experience 7 days of non-stop rain, you can be yotze either the first and second points of Yoyre or the second and third. Command ka Rabbi Yossi. This only follows Rabbi Yossi. Why? Explains Rashi and Tosfos. Rabbi Yossi is the only one who said that the points of Yoyre are situated within 7 days of each other, in which case if you have 7 days of rain, you've covered both points of the Yoyre. For instance, point 1 of Yoyre is day 17 of Cheshvan, point 2 is 23 of Cheshvan. Starts raining on 17, goes for 7 days, you've covered 17 and 23 in one rainstorm. Likewise, if it starts on 23 and rains consecutively for 7 days, explains Tosfos, let's say it's midday on 23 and goes until Rosh Chodesh Kislev midday, you have 7 days of rain, you've covered those two bases, number 2 and number 3 of Yoyre. This only works according to Rabbi Yossi, because according to the other Shitas, the gap between the points are not exactly 7 days. It's either less than 7 days or way more than 7 days. So it won't work out only according to Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rav Chizda, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, and Rashi's Geres, B'Shem is Rabbi, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. That fits very well because Rav Chizda here says that you start asking for Geshem on 7 of Cheshvan. Apparently, it's a starting point of the rain season. This fits perfectly with Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. A Yoyre is meant to begin on day 7 of Cheshvan. Okay, so bottom line is, we have the Yoyre rain season, which starts somewhere in Cheshvan. We have 3 points of the Yoyre, Revia Rishonah, Revia Shnia, Revia Shlishis. Now, is there any significance to this discussion? What's the point of mentioning the 3 points of the Yoyre? Asks the Gemara, Bishlemi Revia Rishona, I understand why you mentioned the first part of the Yoyre. Lisha, that's when you begin asking for rain. Shlishis Lis Amis, the point of mentioning the third aspect of the Yoyre, so no one to begin fasting. There's no rain until that point, it's time to get serious. So the Yechidim, the Chasidim, the Tamid Chachamim, begin to fast. But Shnei Lamai, what's the point of mentioning that midpoint of Yoyre? Is there any significance to that? Says the Gemara, actually, we have no less than 4 applications for that concept. Amrav Zeru l'nedarim, regarding a nether. Tisnan hanoider, adak shaman, made a nether. I'm not going to enjoy this or that thing until the rains. What does the rains mean? Mishi, or he says, atche yugasham, until we experience the rains. Atche teret revia shnia, it's referring to the midpoint of the year, the second installment of rain. Why, says Rashi on top. I'm going to treat it like a carbon. This is a general klal. We follow the accepted terminology. People don't refer to geshamim when it's just that first trickle of rain. Until you have that second installment. Now it gets serious. The roads are muddy. That's the true rain season. Geshamim is referring to the second reviyah when you have that repetition and is considered in the thick of the rain season. Another pshat, why it's reviyah shniyah. Adak shamim, mashamatreit, plural, dahinu reviyah shniyah, the second rain system. So that's one nafkamina. Reviyah shniyah pertains to nedarim. Continues the Gemara in the second line. Rav Zvid Amar, who says him regarding olives. It's not. May masai kol adam mutarn beleket b'shikho epeah. From what point onward can anybody go ahead and pick the leket, something which was dropped in the field and meant to be used by the ani, shikha, something forgotten in the field and meant for the ani, upeya, the portion left aside in the corner for the ani. So at what point do we say the ani gave up on it, was masiach das, becomes hefker, and anybody can take it? Mishiyelcho anamoshis. Once the Nemoishis pass by, Gemara will tell us, Lashon of examiners, you have the slow-moving Aniyim, older people. Once they're done inspecting the field, the Aniyim already give up any dreams of finding any more, and whatever you find in there is considered Hefker and Oralus. But Peret to Boilulus, what about when it comes to olives? Grapes? Peret, what you drop on the floor, Boilulus, those strange-looking, strange-growing grapes? So those are meant for the anim as well. At what point do we say anybody can take it? Once the anim went and inspected the vineyard, they came once and came again. You know, they're no longer expecting anything, and it's hefker. What about the zaysim regarding olives? Once that second revia shows up, the second rainstorm, you know, the olives are pretty much on the spoiling. On the verge of spoiling, and the Aniyim already give up hope, you can go ahead and take it. So here we go. Reviyah Shniyah is a signpost regarding Zaysim from the field. Now, we spoke about Nimoishis. What exactly is that? My Nimoishis. I'm Rabbi Yechanan. Sabi, the older Aniyim, the Adliya Tigra, who use their canes to walk around. Rishlagash Amar, Lakuti Basa Lakuti. The Nemoisha is referring to the father who comes with his son. He checks, and his son behind him checks after him. Once they double-check the field, you know, everything else is hefk. So here we have another afkamina. Reviyah Shniyah pertains to the allowance to go ahead and take those olives from the field. Rav Papa Amar, here we have another application. Kedei lahalech b'shvilei rishus. Once the Reviyah Shniyah arrives, everything is starting to grow, and you may no longer walk through your friend's field. Typically, there's a heter to walk through a pathway in somebody's field. There's rishus to do that, provided you're not going to damage the person's property. Once the rain season arrives, you must stop using that path. Domamar, we learned in Maseches Bava Kamo, Mahalchan Kol Adam B'Shvil Rishus, there's a special takana. I believe it was Yeshua was Masakin, that anybody can just walk through his friend's field. There's rishus to walk through the shvil, but that's only acheteru the riyashni until the riyashni arrives, in which case the farms are starting to grow and you shouldn't be walking around and damaging his crops. Rav Nachman Breitz like Amar, there's a fourth nafkimina to riyashni. Levar pei shviis. That's the starting point of chiv beer regarding shviis produce. So you have some hay, some straw, which you've stored in your home, which is a shvi'is product. You have to make sure that there's still some available for the animals out in the field. That's the halacha of beer. You can only store something which is still available out in the wild. At what point do you have to go ahead and clear your storerooms of peiros shvi'is, of the straw and the hay? At what point can you assume it's no longer available out in the fields for the animals? Once the rain season starts, everything starts rotting. It's not at masai nenin, v'surfin, v'tevin, v'kashal shriyas. Until what point could you enjoy and use as fuel the tevin and kashal shriyas? Ad shetered revi'ashni, until the revi'ashni arrives, in which case, You assume it's no longer available out in the fields, and you have to get rid of it. You can't store it past that point. My time you can enjoy Shvi's products as long as it's available for the animals. As long as the animal has some supply available out in the field, likewise, you can feed your animals in your home. You can store this product. But once it's become unavailable for the animals out in the field, that's it. You have to remove it. You can no longer feed it to your animals in your homes. So we have a total of four nafka minas regarding Revi Yashniya. Nedarim, the heter of removing the zeisim from the fields. Shvili HaRishus, and Biur of Shvius. Now we spoke about Reviya Rishayna, Reviya Shnia. Where does the term Reviya come from? Amar Abavo, my Lashon Reviya, which is the Lashon of mating. Dova Shereviya is Akarka, the rains serve as a zachar within a keva because it activates the tzmicha process in the ground. Kedrav Yehuda, Dama Rav Yehuda, Mitra, rain is Bala Da'aruhu, it's like the husband of the earth. The Torah compares Hashem's word to the Geshem Hashalig coming from Shemayim by Hashem's word. It doesn't go back there until it does its job, fulfills its mission. It saturates the earth. It triggers a birth process and a growth process. So we see that the Geshem arriving down on land acts like a Baal, which triggers a birth process. Interesting. It's actually fascinating that the earth is merely a doimim. Ramam says we have the afar, we have mayim, ruach, and esh, all elements of doimim. Here we take a seed, put it into a dead piece of earth, glob of afar, and suddenly growth. We have tzmicha. Tzmeach is higher than doimim. Right, we have doimim, on top of that we have tzmeach, and then we have chai, living being, and medaber, person who speaks. How could the offer, the aretz, which is just a doimim, bring about smicha v'tzemeach? So the fascinating thing is that the matar, the geshem, which is sent down by Hashem, contains some sort of spiritual word of Hashem, spiritual power, which when combined with the offer, generates that smicha and allows the offer, empowers the doimim down below to actually generate smicha, to bring about a tzemech, which is really much higher than itself. So that's the point of the revia. The revia, it's revia sakak, it activates the growth process within the offer. V'amaravo, revia rishayna, kadesha teirid b'karka tefach. You know when you really experience the true effect, positive effect of revia rishayna, when you have enough rain, which gets absorbed a tefach into the ground. Rashi says, even if you don't have much more rain than that, but you know that you have that much, that's a good sign, and there's no need to fast. Shnia, what about the second revia shnia? How much is required at that point? It saturates and muddies the earth to the point they can use it to seal up the mouth of a barrel. So once you get to that point, you know that at least you got something, and things aren't that desperate. Amar Rav Chisda, Geshamim sheyarda k'day lakav behem pichavis. Once you get to that point, you have enough rain which muddies the ground to that point. Ein behem mishum va'atzar. You know for sure you're out of the va'atzar category. The klol of va'atzar sashamayim no longer applies. Amar Rav Chisda, Geshamim sheyarda k'aydim va'atzar. If it started raining before the zman when you read va'atzar, before Zman Kriya Shema, Ein Ba Mishum Va'atzar, you know you're safe, you're out of the Klala territory. You know it's a good sign. Rabbi Lo Amar, this only applies, Ela Koydim Va'atzar, the Urta, that arrives before Krishma Shel Arvis. So early evening rain is actually very good and beneficial. It sits on the ground all night and facilitates moisture, and it's beneficial. Ava Koydim Va'atzar, the Tzafra, but if you have some rain before Krishma of the morning, that's not such a good sign. Yeshba Mimishim Ba'atzar, that is actually an indication of Ba'atzar if it just rains early morning and no more than that. Why? Omar Yehuda Barashach Yitzchak, Hani Anani that suffer these early morning light clouds, Leisbu Mashash, it doesn't really have much meaning. The Chsiv, Ma'asalacha Ephraim, what should I do for you, Klal Yisrael? Ma'asalacha Yehuda, v'chazdachem, your good deeds are just flimsy, kanan boika, like the early morning, flimsy, fleeting clouds. Only Rapapa Abaye. How could you say that? V'amr inshi, isn't there a common saying as follows? B'miftach bavi. In the morning, when you open up your bavi, your gates, your doors, and you notice mitra, it's raining, it's a rainy day, well, that's a good sign. Bar chamra. So we address the fellow who's involved as chamar, he transports grain with his donkey, a grain dealer. We tell the grain dealer, you're out of business, it's not a good year. Moich sakech, fold up your sack, vigoni, and go to sleep on it as a pillow, meaning you're out of business. Lots of rain facilitates growth, generates bracha. Apparently, morning rain is good. Like Kasha, the answer is, Hadakata be'iva. If the sky is filled with heavy clouds, rain clouds, that's a good sign. Hadakata be'anani. But if it's just filled with light, flimsy clouds, that's not going to bring much bracha. Amar Yehuda, Tava l'shata. It's actually good for the year. The Tevis, when the month of Tevis, is Armalta, is lacking rain, a dry Tevis, like an almana without a husband, like the earth without her husband. Ikadam. Some explain the reason is to lay bairi tarbiti tarpiti. Rashi learns arbet midrashim, where they are marbit stir, they spread Torah. Bairi, they're not fallow, meaning when the world isn't oversaturated with rains and the roads are passable, then talmidim travel from town to town, learn Torah. So it's actually a good thing. Lay bairi tarbiti, but the midrashim are not fallow. Because Amri, some explain the reason is the lay shakel shutfin, it doesn't accept a shidufin, some sort of harmful condition which crops can experience, which happens when there's an abundance of moisture. So when Tevis is a dry month, it's a good thing. Eini, is that true that Tevis should be dry? But Amar v'chizda, actually the other way around. Tavu l'shata, it's good for the year. The Tevis minavalta, when Chodesh Tevis is manuvel, dirty, the muddy, full of rain. Akashi, the answer is, depends what type of year they had. Hoda asa mitra mi'ikara. If there were lots of rains before Tevis, then we need a break. Hoda lo asa mitra mi'ikara. But if there weren't too many rains before Tevis, then obviously we need rain as much as we can get. V'amar v'chizda, gishamim sheyardu al mitzas medina. If only part of the town experienced rain. V'al mitzas medina lo yardu. Other part of the town did not. It's not necessarily a bad sign of Atzar Sashemayim. Why? Because Rashi says the lucky part of town will supply the other part of town with supplies. Any, really? It's not problematic. We have a pasuk which indicates otherwise. Even this is a klal. Part rain, part not. I prevented from you. I held back as a geshem. It's going to rain on one city, not on the other. Part of the town will have rain. And the pasuk continues, and the other part will not have rain. That's not a good sign. This is a double klolo. The ones that don't have rain have a klolo. Even the ones that have rain. That's too much rain, there's no good either. Second, we say it isn't necessarily a bad sign. The answer is, how much rain arrives on that part of town? If it rains a lot, gets flooded, it ruins their crops as well. So we have a double klala going. But if it arrives as needed, then it's not so bad. So the lucky part of town will supply the other part of town with their needs. Omar Avashi, the economy. The wording the pasuk also indicate as such, the chsiv timoter. Part of the town will be timata, which means the heimakamata will be full and saturated with much rain. Shmamana, apparently we're speaking that it's flooded with rain, in which case there's a double klola. Here there is no rain, here there's too much rain. Amarivo, when a town was experiencing a drought, and suddenly there's rain as man simcha, you make a special bracha. When do you make that bracha? At what point in the rainstorm? When do you make that bracha? When the chosan greets the kala, Rashi learns, it's drip after drip, and it's dripping onto the ground. And what happens is, the water, the puddle down below, rises up towards the drip. So when the drip drops into the puddle sort of rises up correspondingly. So that's the chosan greeting the kala. The Ritva asks, what do you mean? Before we said that the rain is the baal of the earth. So the rain is the chasen. The one coming down is the chasen, not the one going up. So he says, yeah, the rain versus the aretz is chasen versus kala, but the a drip coming down versus a drip rising, so that's the other way. It's the chasm rising towards the kala. My mevarach, what exactly do we say in this bracha? How do we express our appreciation? Rabbi Yehuda, Marav, Moedim Anachal Lecha, Hashem Alakenu, we acknowledge, we thank you, Hashem, Al Kol Tipa V'Tipa, Sheirad Telanu, for every drop that you've given us. That's it. Rabbi Yechanan, he added more. Mesayim Bach, he added more. The nusach that we say during Nishmas on Shabbos, Ilu Finu Mole Sheir Kayam, even if our mass would be full of song like these seeds, Ilu Sheinenu Rino Kamon Galav, our tongues ringing forth with song like the multitude of waves in the seas, and on, as we have in Nishmas, it wouldn't suffice to thank you, Hashem. Ad, we go all the way. Ad, al yazvunu rachamecha Hashem alakein, just as you helped us until now, don't abandon us. V'le yazvunu, baruch roiv haidois. Hashem is baruch roiv haidois. For the majority, he's deserving of the majority of haidah. What does this mean? Roiv haidois, only the majority? We thank him only for most things? V'le kol haidois, not all of them? Amarava, Ema, so in fact, change it. Kel Haidois, he's the Hashem of thanks. Amar Papa, no, actually, we'll say them both. I like both. Hilkach Nemrinu L'Tavayu, let's say both. Kel Haidois, Hashem, who is deserving of all thanks, the source of all goodness. V'Rav Haidois, and also Rav. What do you mean? Rav is only most, explains Rashi. Rav Papa changes the meaning of Rav. Instead of Rav meaning Rubik, Kekula, the majority, no, it means Riboy. Hashem is the source of the abundance of bracha, which generates haidah to Hashem. Says Rashi on the top line, l'memrinu l'tarvayu. We say baruch atah b'roiv ha'haidois, which doesn't mean roiv as opposed to everything, b'marbeis ha'haidois, due to the abundance, the multitude, the many haidois. Hakel shal kol ha'haidois. Mashma. So you say baruch atah Hashem roiv ha'haidois. The Hashem, who is the Hashem of all the Haidois. But Rav means the multitude, the many Haidois. Umetchila, initially the Gemara didn't learn this way. Hayamashma Rav Mamish, V'loi Merubais. Most, not multitudes. Two different meanings to Rav. It can mean most, which is problematic because it's all, it's not most. But it could also mean Merubais. V'kumoy ken b'yishtabach kel melech gadol matishpachais kel Haidois, mipi Rabbi. Okay, so what did we learn today? We dwelled on the pasuk when Asarati Mitar Arzach and Beito Yoyre Malkush. Why Yoyre? We have three pshatim. Yoyre means instruct the public, clean up the area, waterproof your roofs. It brings about moisture. It saturates the Oretz, marvel Oretz, and it's Yoyre Benachas, Yoyre like a teacher, teaching with pleasantness and softness. Malkush is also three things. Mal kashusin shal yisrael, it removes the hardness, stubbornness of yisrael when there's no rain. It is memali tzvua b'kasher, because it comes at the end of the growing season, nisan time when we have those kernels, so it aids and benefits the completion of that growth process. Or malkush, it comes down al malilis, on the kernels, valakashin, on the stalks as well. We learned that the yere season is comprised of three sections, Revia Rishona, Revia Shnia, Revia Shlishis. Firstly, why is it called Revia? Because it's the Baal of Ha'aretz. Now, why do we have the first, second, and third? What is the significance to that? The first Revia is regarding the Zman of She'el, and according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda, begins Zayin Cheshvan, and that's in fact when we begin to ask. V'sein Talamata, we do this in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, where there is not that much of a need for rain at that particular time of the year, so actually start later, so in the beginning of November. Regarding Revia Shnia, the Nafkamini there would be regarding the Lashon for Nadarim, until the rains, Revia Shnia is the Ikar rain, regarding the time to take the pay out of the field, you have to stop walking throughout your fields, through your friend's farm, and the Zman Bior of the Shemitah hay is Revia Shnia, when the fields are saturated and we no longer have available hay for the Kevin Vakash for the animals. What is the point of Revia Shlishis? That's the point when things get desperate. There was no rain until that point. The Yechidim begin their Taniyos. Okay, we learned that Mutter is called Revia because it's Revia Sa'aretz, like the Zachar within the Keva. We learned that field, like a land without Eretz, is called an Amala, an Almana. That's what we said. Tevis is Armalta, lacking the husband. We learned about the Birchas HaGeshem, and the new meaning to the word Rav Haidois, instead of Rav, it means Ribui. We thank Hashem for the abundance of goodness. Kol Tov to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.